Hello and a warm welcome to the Somewhere For Us podcast. I'm Jules Stapleton-Barnes and this is a podcast about exploring the stories and celebrating the lives of LGBTQ plus people living in Scotland. Previously, I had a lovely chat with artist Greer Ralston, whose latest body of work explores the theme of clothing. And today, I managed to catch up with one of the subjects of that series. One of Scotland's finest bass players and current bassist for Horse, Lonnie Thomas. This is Somewhere For Us. Welcome to Somewhere For Us podcast. Lonnie Thomas, who is a professional bass player, musician, or as you put it, I'm a musician who plays bass.
Yeah.
You have recently featured in Greer Ralston's Clothes Maketh exhibition.
Yes.
Although you sort of don't feature in it, in the sense that your body isn't in the painting.
No.
But your clothes are.
Yes.
Tell us about the clothes that you're wearing in that painting.
The clothes that I'm wearing in the painting are gig clothes, clothes that I wear on stage. So I always quite like to wear nice things on stage because it makes me feel good and it sort of bolsters that confidence a wee bit and just gets you ready into that mindset of going on stage and putting on a good performance. If you look good, you feel good, then your performance is going to be good.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so clothes for me is quite an important part of my identity, especially on stage. So, you know, and also it's the first thing that people see. You know, we're very good or very quick to judge a person, you know, by their clothes. So,
but what do you think people see when they see you on stage?
Gold.
I know, that's a horrendous question.
I know.
Well, I'm just, you talk about that there's the potential for people to judge you when you walk on stage. Let me rephrase the question. What do you want people to see when you step out on stage?
Just, I don't know. God, that's such a hard question to, like, because I haven't thought about it from, like, the audience point of view of how they see me on stage, you know? It's always been how I want to feel on stage and stuff. So I hope that what they see is what I'm portraying and what I'm feeling at the time.
Yeah, that's nice that you say that, because what comes to mind to me is the phrase ready to shine.
Yeah.
That's not too cheesy.
Not at all.
Because when I have seen you perform.
Yes,
and
you
have. Not nearly recent enough.
No.
But I have seen you perform. And when you come out on stage wearing that type of attire, which we should explain for people who haven't seen it, is a kind of long jacket.
Yeah.
Cool trousers.
Yeah, I usually
jeans,
wear, like, they're like leathers. They're black.
What? I hadn't noticed that.
Mm, yeah.
Leathers.
The black leathers, and the jacket is, no, oh gosh, I can't remember who it's made by, but it's basically very sparkly. It's like a dark navy blue, and it's got, like, down one arm, it's got diamond-y sort of Mickey Mouse gloves doing the peace sign, and it's got three of them.
And that features in Greer's painting.
And then
it?
On the other side, it's got, like, a patch that says girls. For some reason, that appealed to me. And then it's got more sort of sparkly stuff. So it looks good on stage when the lights are all going, you know, because it's makes quite an effect.
Yeah, I think you're a bit of a show person, do you know?
A show off.
Yeah, show, just showy, you know, as in, like, you're putting on a show.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Nice.
Just, you know, I think the days of me...
Sorry, I'm just moving myself because my bottom's sore.
That's all right. Why is your bottom sore?
I got broken coccyx. Well, it's not, but it's bent.
How did you do that?
Oh, soft play, and I'm 43.
Oof, okay. You need adult soft plays.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so. I think that would just cause me more harm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think the days of me just sort of chucking on jeans and a T-shirt and, you know, that I've been wearing all week or for two days and going straight on stage... Yeah. I can't do that. I like to make an effort.
Yeah. And just the sophistication about it, because your career has been amazing. You have been a kind of, for as long as I've known, you've been a gigging, jobbing bassist.
Yeah.
A musician. And you never seem to be out of work. Is that true?
Well, the pandemic aside. Yeah, the pandemic put a stop to a lot of things. So it's building things back up again, you know. So, but no, I've been... very fortunate with the opportunities that I've had. Yeah, I feel very blessed. And this year I made my own bass.
Awesome.
I did a custom design. So I'm endorsed with a German company called Sandberg Guitars. And it might have been last year or the year before, I was doing something really mundane and doing dishes and just daydreaming like you do. And I thought, I want a new bass and I want to make my own and design it and stuff. So I spoke to Holger, who's the CEO of the company. And I was like, I think it's time for me to design my own bass. And he's like, yes, what are you thinking? And at the same time, I really got into, there's a Glasgow or a Scottish company, they're based in Glasgow, called Timorous Beasties. And they're like a design, interior design. They do like these amazing wallpapers and prints and cushions and lampshades and stuff. And I'd seen a design that I really, really liked. And I thought, right, I'm going to ask them if they would be up for doing, letting me use their designs on one of my bases. So that's what we did. So I got Timorous Beasties and Sandberg to work together, and I basically said what I wanted, and then this sounds like I'm bragging, but I've also got another endorsement with pickups. So the pickup company in America sent me the pickups that I wanted for the bass, and they sent them to Germany, and so between all of us,
brilliant.
I designed my own Lawny T bass. So.
That's awesome. Just one?
Is it just a one-off? So, wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's the one that Greer has in the painting?
Yes, that is the gold one. Yes, yeah. The Wee Beastie, it's called. So.
Issue 12 of Somewhere For Us magazine is available now, with cover art from Glasgow-based illustrator Sean Casey, packed full with features on Heartstopper, Jordan Daly, the Glasgow Women's Library, and you can become a member to receive printed copies and a free gift with every issue. Visit somewhereforus.org/shop.
Yeah. You were saying earlier on that you are being a bit more careful about the choice of work that you're taking. What type of work do you like to do?
Oh, gosh. I love being on big stages. I love, you know, doing the big gigs. And
you're currently, you've just been recording the album with Horse.
Yes. So we've just been, actually, I just got back, from Oban, and we were up there. In total, we've been up there for 3 weeks, but at different periods. So recording the album, which has been great. It's been really nice to sort of be in the process from the beginning all the way through, and you know, getting to noise up Horse.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
What do you do to noise up Horse?
Oh, breathe, probably.
We're hoping to speak to Horse in a few months when you're out to taking the music out on the road.
Yeah,
so I'm going to ask her what is it
that I do?
Yeah.
To noise
what do you have
up?
To put up with Lawny Thomas? Yeah. You mentioned earlier on, before we started recording, about when you first came across Horse and how Horse came into your life. Do you want to say a little bit about that?
So I'm originally from just a town outside Oxford called Abingdon. And, you know, when I was growing up, I always knew that I liked girls. I always knew, like, even at primary school, I would have, like, little infatuations with, like, the bigger girls at school. And I was obsessed with Wonder Woman. She was my first love, you know. But I never sort of really put two and two together. I didn't go, oh my God, I'm gay, you know. But I did, like, later on in my life, obviously.
It's amazing how long it takes us, though.
Well, definitely, definitely, you know. And I remember sort of, I was getting really into, like, Jimmy Somerville and, like, a lot of Eurasia, a lot of the male sort of gay pop stars, I guess, that were out there at that time, you know. So when I was 13, I was sort of realizing more and more that actually I was sort of more and more attracted to women or girls then. But there was no, like, female role models back then, you know. All right, you had Martina, the tennis player, you know, and Katie Lang was sort of making waves, but as a country artist. This was before.
And it was also America, right? And it was, yeah, it felt very, really far away,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you know.
And we didn't have the same way of, didn't have the same different platforms of media to access.
No, Katie definitely. Lang, right? There was no internet then, no YouTubes, nothing like that.
And she wasn't appearing on, you know, chat shows over here in the UK.
No, definitely, definitely. But, you know, so I used to, being into music and everything, I used to obsessively watch The Tube, because that was the program to watch back then. And I remember when I was 13, Horse was on. I remember, like, I was in my bedroom, on my bed, watching The Tube on my little black and white telly, and Horse was there, and I was just like, oh my God, you know. But it was
Penny
the music.
Dropping,
yeah, yeah. Well, it was the music that sort of got me first, you know. I was just like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then I was like, oh my God, she's gay, you know. And I was like, okay, there is somebody, there is a female celebrity out there that I can sort of admire.
And when was this?
So this was being about 86, 87. And that was it, you know. And their first album came out, Same Sky, and bought that, and I would listen to it, like, constantly on my Walkman in the car and stuff, you know. I've got vivid memories of listening to that album and specific events that happened in my life growing up listening to that album, you know. And then sort of not long after watching her on The Tube, then I was like, oh my God, I had that light bulb moment of, okay, I'm actually gay. And I was like, that's it. And I was just like, you know, because I had this, up until that point, I just felt different. I don't know what it was.
I don't think we had the language for it.
No.
I really don't think we were given the words. Nobody was talking about it.
No.
And even the people who were in the public eye, who people knew to be homosexual,
yeah,
that wasn't being talked about.
No, but
they were being, their music was successful,
yeah,
almost despite that,
yeah,
rather than because, yeah, of that, or, you know.
Yeah. I think as well, you know, if you think back about that time, for me, you're probably too young to sort of remember this, but, you know, because Clause 28 had come out, you know. So I remember, like, being totally, like, what the actual, I can't talk to a teacher at school because you're not allowed to talk about gay.
I mean,
gay
Clause 28 was in place till 2001.
I know. It's
and
crazy.
Actually, and I finished my kind of schooling at 1996, and it was there throughout the whole, yeah, of that. But I don't think I even knew what it was.
Yeah.
Whereas I think you being maybe a wee bit older,
yeah,
meant that you knew what it was,
yeah,
and how it was having an impact. It's only now when I look back, yeah, and I realise,
yeah,
this is why we don't have the words for it.
Like, no.
This is why we don't have the, you know, the confidence sometimes, yeah, in certain settings.
Yeah, on a defo. And I think as well, like, the way media portrayed it, you know. So you had, like, before Clause 28, you had the AIDS pandemic, and, you know, the adverts for that were absolutely terrifying, you know. I'd be like,
tombstones.
Yeah, it was like big tombstones with RIP and, mm-hmm, AIDS engraved on it. And it was just like, so sort of realizing at that age that you're gay was like terrifying.
Terrifying's the word I was going to use. Yeah,
it was absolutely terrifying, but it was also, for me, I felt like a weight had lifted off my shoulders because I'd acknowledged within myself who I was.
And it's why role models are so important, because to see somebody out there not being terrified.
Yeah.
What I remember, and for people who were in the public eye, is that they weren't terrified.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of gives you a bit of hope, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it still does now.
Oh, definitely, you know. Yeah.
So tell me, so now, you know, so this is a really big part of your coming out story, to yourself.
Yeah.
And there you are now.
Yeah.
Playing these same songs, I imagine?
Well, last year it was the 30th anniversary of Same Sky. Actually, it was the 32nd, but COVID pandemic put. So those 2 years don't count. So it was the 30th anniversary of the Same Sky tour. And I was just in my element because I was getting to play all these songs that I grew up with.
And I've seen pictures and footage of you playing.
Yeah.
And around that time and through that tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you are on cloud nine.
Oh, I love
your
that.
Your face is so lit up.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I meant when I said earlier on that you're ready to shine.
Yeah.
When I think of you in the outfit that Greer has painted, I think about you getting ready to perform.
Yeah. Yeah. On a deaf end. Do you know what? I'm my happiest is when I'm on stage, because that's when my life feels connected and just I'm on my sort of true path of who I am. You know, I'm being 100% authentic to who I am as an individual is when I'm on stage playing or doing some music in a recording studio, recording a song for somebody that's me. That's why that's all I know. And that's why I'm here on this planet, really, is to play bass.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Hi, Jules here. I know you're loving the conversation, so just a quick note to say that all episodes of the Somewhere for Us podcast are available now. And you made it this far, so have fun exploring. Previous guests include the brilliantly resilient and inspiring Mandla Ray, the heartwarming tearjerker that is the Hebridean Baker, two remarkable queer elders, and the frank and funny queer young people from the Cairngorms. And we started it all with the completely unique and brilliant Eli Percy Blythe. Somewhere for Us is a space for reassurance, inspiration, celebration, and connection with each other. At somewhereforus.org/podcast, or you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts too.
There's a really good network of female musicians, you know. The girls are out there and they're rocking it and they're kicking ass.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more female musicians out there and they're just phenomenal, and some of them are really young, and it's just like, oh my god, if I had your confidence and I was like 24, you know, and not being worrying about what people think of me or whatever, you know, then, you know, I'm just like, go for it.
Let me ask you about the future, thinking about your future in music. So the album, so Horses album's coming out soon, in the next few months.
Before next year. There's a tour coming out that starts on the 3rd of November at Queen's Hall. That's the first date, so we'll be doing quite a chunk of songs from the new album for that, which is terrifying but exciting at the same time. You know, she's come back writing really, really strong.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, and on a bass player part, there's some awesome bass lines. Not just being big-headed, but it's like, I've got, like, there's one where, I had to fight Horse to get this on. There's one track where I use, like, I've got, like, this sort of synthy bass sound, and it's really, really dirty, but it makes, in my opinion, and Horse will totally disagree with this, but it makes a track, you know? And then there's another track which is totally sparse, and it just starts with finger clicks and the bass.
Ooh, lovely.
And it's really, like, mellow and subdued and just,
Stripped back.
Yeah, it's really stripped back, and it's totally different from something that horse would normally.
Yeah. I feel like I need to stop you telling me.
Yeah, I know
about it.
Yeah,
because she'll get cross.
Yes, I know. I'll get sacked.
And do you think the future's looking good for queer musicians?
Yeah, definitely.
Any words of encouragement you can pass on to a young bassist, a young queer bassist who's in their bedroom listening to this?
Just get out there and play. You know, network, meet as many people. Don't turn anything down, you know, because that's how you're going to sort of...
learn your craft?
Yeah, well, A, learning your craft, but, you know, you're going to network and you're going to meet people and, you know, be good at the instrument. You know, sometimes how you are and how you carry yourself as a person and how you connect with other people on a human level outweighs the ability.
So we're championing LGBTQ plus arts, culture, enterprise, our history. What would you champion? What matters to you now, do you think? Is it community? Is it thinking about music more generally? Do the two meet for you?
Of course they do. I think community is very important, you know, because you need that support network, you know, because you are going to have periods in your life where it's not that great and you need that community in there to sort of put their arms around you and go, do you know what, actually it's going to be all right and stuff, you know. So in all retrospects of life, I think community is very, very important, as is music, you know, and you get the two working together, then it's match made in heaven. Sometimes.
Lorni Thomas, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for speaking to us.
Do you know what I would like to say in regards to getting that, my painting done, is, you know, I felt really flattered for someone to ask me to paint my clothes, you know, and it was so weird seeing it in its flesh. It was just like, oh my God, you know, that's me, but without me being inside the clothes, without me, you know, she's managed to capture me, who
Rachel
I am.
Rachel said the same thing.
Yeah, she's just portrayed my character off to a T. You know, it's very humbling. It's you know, I'm very honoured that, I thought it was a genius concept that Greer's come up with.
And there's a lot of queer coding in there.
Definitely.
Which is very helpful for, you know, when you think about not just young folk, but any folk who are coming out, looking for those signs and symbols that someone might be like them.
It's validation, isn't it? I think that's what it comes down to, an acceptance.
Do you feel that Greer's work has done that for you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's really beautiful. Lorni Thomas, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
There's something that physically comes over me when a bass starts.
You've been listening to the Somewhere For Us podcast with me, Jules Stapleton-Barnes. And if you enjoyed it, I've got plenty more where that came from. In fact, I have an outlandish episode coming up just around the corner. So come and follow me on Instagram, on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts, or visit somewhereforus.org/podcast.